Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Mother's Day is a beautiful day. You can celebrate those who have given birth to us, who have loved us, who have cared for us, who have sacrificed so much on our behalf. It's a day of sorrow, I know, at times. If your mother has passed away, if you're estranged from your mother, or also for those who wish to be biological mothers but are not able to, there are many parts of the day that also can be full of grief. We are also blessed that, as women of the Lord, that you are also spiritual mothers, whether or not you are biological mothers, that you mother God's children, you mother the flock of Jesus, and you love as a mother. And so we rejoice with you, we mourn with you, we thank God for you, and now let us pray for you. Father God, we thank you so much that you have created mothers, that you have created us in this way, O Lord God, where it is by these women you have given to us, Lord, that we come into being, and we thank you for them. We thank you for the times of pain that they sacrifice and struggle for us. We thank you for the countless hours of love and care and help, practical help, emotional help, spiritual help, Lord God, that our biological and our spiritual mothers give to us, O Lord God. Help us to see, O Lord God, the love that these women pour out in your name upon us, and let us be very thankful, Lord. We ask for your comfort on those who do grieve today, for those who have lost their mother in this world, Lord, for those who struggle with relationships with their mother or their children, and for those who are not able, have not yet been able, or have, by your will, have called them to not have biological children, but freed them to invest in your children, O Lord God. I ask your blessing upon them, your comfort upon them, Lord God. At times your will is not our will. We pray, O Lord God, that this would be a day in which all women are blessed, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 66, and I will be reading verses 7 through 14. Isaiah 66, verses 7 through 14. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is God's word. This is the time during our service where we have an opportunity to lift up prayer requests as well as praises. To assist you with that, in your bulletin, you will find an insert that is entitled Praise and Prayer. On the back of that insert, on the text box at the bottom, you'll find the email address that you can use to send in a prayer request or a praise or an update. And that email address is prayer@hollistonchurch.org. So we would bring to your attention the things which have changed, especially since last week's list was published. Last week we were praying for Merrill Thompson, who at the time was in Milford Regional Medical Center. She has since been discharged and is at home. And so we want to continue to be praying for her as she recovers and as she receives outpatient therapies to assist her. We do want to continue to pray for Pastor Batten as he is in isolation right now, having tested positive for COVID. And we do give praise again for the bridal shower, which was held yesterday in our Pastor Batten Fellowship Hall for Jasmine and Dan. And we do want to continue to be praying for that couple as they look forward to not only their wedding, but more importantly, to their marriage together. And that's all that we have. You see the rest of the very comprehensive list in your bulletin. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do, as the prophet encouraged us, rejoice with Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who provides comfort as a mother comforts. Lord, we thank you that you can provide that comfort because you have made a way for us to be in fellowship with you. Lord, you did not hold us at bay, and yet you made a way through your Son for us to have fellowship with you. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross for us. It was just a few weeks ago that we were celebrating the resurrection here in the sanctuary. And Lord, help us not to lose sight of the enthusiasm and the joy that we expressed on Easter morning. And Lord, help us to live as people who desire to be more and more conformed into the image and likeness of your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel of John. We thank you that John consistently challenged the reader to believe. And so, Lord, that is what we come to you this morning, and we say we believe. Help us in our unbelief. There are times where we are challenged in our beliefs. There are times where our faith is challenged by life circumstances, and we bring those to you. And we'd ask that you would work in those circumstances. And Lord, oftentimes it's not that you take away our challenges, but that you refine us through them. And so we'd ask that you would continue to shape us and refine us more and more into the image and likeness of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, children up through grade 5 are dismissed for children's church. And if you are physically able to do so, please stand as we sing the chorus of Blessed Assurance. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You may be seated.
Good morning. This morning we will be looking at a very familiar passage to many of us. It's one of the I am statements. And if you've been to any funerals that I've had the honor of doing, it may sound very familiar to you. I often will speak from this passage for two main reasons. One is it's a situation where Jesus tells his disciples he's going away. And so there's a parallel there, I think, often with folks who are grieving the loss of a loved one, is Jesus says, I'm going away, right? The one they love is not going to physically be with them any longer, and he comforts them in the midst of that. The second reason is because it's a very powerful proclamation of who Jesus is and of how we must be saved and the means available because of God's great love for us for our salvation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then let's get into his word. Father God, we turn to you. You are our king. Well, you are the king. I pray you are our king. It doesn't really matter what we believe or what we think, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not a choice that we get to make, Lord. Our only choice is, do we bow before you and worship you, or do we reject and rebel against you, Lord? You are the king. Lord, I thank you for this season that you have created, where all the beautiful flowers are coming out and the beautiful aromas that come from that, Lord. We see life coming back, Lord, new life, your beauty and your creation, how intricate you are and how enormous you are, Lord God, how good you are. I pray this morning in your word you would help us to see you and to believe you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. This morning we'll look at verses 1 through 11. Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going away, that he is going to the Father. John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. This is God's word. Jesus is leaving the earth in his human nature. He's going to the cross. He's going to die, where he will, after 3 days in the tomb, he will rise again from the dead by the power of God. And then 40 days later, he will ascend to heaven to reside at the right hand of the Father. He's going away. And he's telling that to his disciples. Keep in mind, his disciples had different ideas of what was going to happen by following Jesus, of what Jesus was going to do. And a significant part of their understanding was that Jesus would come as the Messiah and take over Israel. or at least become this ruler within Israel. Whether, you know, some of them are, it's harder to know exactly what they thought that looked like. Some clearly thought it was a political, military leader. One could have thought it was more of a religious leader. Many thought it was a combination of those three things, that the Messiah would be the three offices that are talked about in the Old Testament: prophet, priest, and king. And that would be their earthly perception of those three coming together, would be what Jesus would do. And now he's saying, hey, thanks for following me all these times. Thanks for giving up your lives, giving up your livelihoods and everything, and coming and giving everything to follow me. I'm leaving. You can imagine the confusion, the fear, the anger, the disappointment in that. But in this passage, as Jesus says he's going away, he doesn't leave it there. He is comforting his disciples. Verses 1 through 4, he comforts his disciples. He starts off with a statement, with a command of what they are to do. I'm leaving, now here's what you do. Let not your hearts be troubled. He understands that they are going to experience profound sorrow. Fear is going to grip them at his announcements. And so he says to that, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now we often think, you know, if God says to do something, that's enough, right? It's a recognition of who God is, as he is the one who has authority to command all of his creation. And we are his creation. We may rebel against that, but he, as the creator, has the right to tell us what to do. He has given us choice. He has given us our own wills so that we can and do say no to God. But his command still stands. He could just say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now I'm out of here. But that's not who God is. That's not who Jesus is. He doesn't just give a command and say, do what I say, not what I do, or just because I told you so. No, he gives so much more here. He not only tells us what to do, don't let your hearts be troubled. He tells us why and how we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. Okay? First, the how. How does he say that our hearts cannot be troubled when all of our hopes and dreams and expectations of what God was doing are dashed? Believe in God, believe also in me. Here is the antidote to our fear, to our anxious hearts, our despair, is to believe, hope in, trust in, put all of your eggs in the basket of Jesus. Our hearts are troubled because we have to try to figure it out for ourselves. We have to save ourselves. We have to forge a path by ourselves. We have to be number one and take charge and take control and figure everything out and fix everything. And when we come up to the wall of we can't get through, we can't break through, what do we do? Believe in God, believe also in Jesus. That doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. That doesn't mean that all of our paths will be filled with lilies and straight and easy going. If you read the book Pilgrim's Progress, it's very interesting that there is one path to follow to the heavenly city, to the kingdom of God. There's one path to follow, but it's not always easy. And in fact, some of the ways off the path often seem easier and are a distraction and can pull the hero Christian off of the path at times. But it is still the path of Christ. Our expectation should be that of the cross. The cross is the way of Christ, and the cross is suffering and struggle and death. doesn't make it wrong. For that is the way Jesus walked. Do not let our hearts be troubled. How? Believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Why believe in him? And why can our hearts not be troubled? Why is it possible for our hearts not to be troubled? Verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go, this is verse 3 now, I will come again and take you to myself so that we will be together. It says, yes, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving because I'm abandoning you. I'm not leaving because everything you thought about me being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was not true. The very news he gives them that hurts so much is the actual thing that he does to fulfill and create that which they are hoping for eternally. He goes away so that he can enable them to live forever in the kingdom of God under Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he does not go away, meaning to the cross, none of this is fulfilled. None of what they hope for and they think is good can happen apart from Jesus going away and going to the cross. Now, I often think, and again, this is where maybe you've heard me say this now many, many times, if you've been to some of the funerals, when it says Jesus goes to prepare a place for you, what do we think that means? Well, it does not mean that he's going to do some interior decorating. It does not mean that, oh, as a carpenter, he must be going to build extra rooms in his father's mansion, right? That he's going to prepare the rooms, and he's going to hang the curtains just right and gets rid of all the wallpaper because that was last century was the thing, and now it's just fresh paint or whatever the modern stuff is. He's going and he's installing, you know, the stainless steel refrigerator in the kitchen, and he's just going to get the house all ready for us. No. That's not how he prepares the place for us. That's not what his going means. His going and the preparation means he goes to the cross. He goes to the cross. That is how he prepares a place for us. By dying for us. For all who, refer back to the how in the latter part of verse 1, believe in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. Why can we trust him and have our hearts not be troubled? Because Jesus is taking care of it, our eternal souls. He's taking care of us by going away. He is enabling us to live with him forever. So here is comfort. Yes, he's going away. But our hearts cannot be troubled by believing in Jesus. Because his going away, the very thing that brings us fear and sorrow, is actually the very thing that brings us life and peace and love and joy for all eternity. Next, in verses 5 through 7, Jesus shows that he is the way to the Father. That Jesus is the way to the Father. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You said we know the way. I don't know the way. I don't even know where it is. How can I walk somewhere? If you're going to go to a place, how can I get to that place if I don't know where that place is? Thomas is expressing a wonderful question, sir. He's very confused. And Jesus says, the place isn't what you think about. And the journey isn't the kind of journey you're thinking about. There's not a road map that you can follow. It's not a treasure map where X marks the spot. It's not about where you put your feet. It's about where you put your faith. I just came up with that. I like that. Sorry. Because Jesus says he doesn't show us the way. He is the way. He is the way. And he is the truth. He doesn't just tell us truth. He is truth. He doesn't just talk about life. He is life, in him, in believing in him. If we want to get to the Father, the only way, he declares here, the only way to the Father is through Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Some have said that that makes Christianity very narrow, very, very exclusionary, right? It excludes everybody if you don't believe in Jesus. I reject that. I believe it is completely open. It doesn't matter where you were born, who you were born to. It doesn't matter about your understandings or lack of understandings. It doesn't matter what religion you were, what age you were born in. It doesn't matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sick. We all have the disease of death upon us. And Jesus says, whoever you are, there just is one way. And I know the way because it's me. Often heard an analogy of this given. If you're flying on a plane, you don't want your pilot to say, there are many ways to get to the terminal. I can come in on the sidewalk. I can come in under the water. I don't have to look at the runways. No. There's one runway that you should go on. And he's not being like, well, I don't want to take that runway. That's not fair. What if other people want a different runway? That's fine. Want what you want. But there's just one way. You can't change it by wishing it away. We don't change the reality. Jesus says, I know what's true, and I can save you. Trust in me. Jesus then closes this passage this morning in verses 8 through 11 by declaring that Jesus, once again, he's declared so often, Jesus and the Father are one. Philip says, look, Jesus, if you just show us the Father, then we'll believe. Jesus says, I have shown you the Father because you've been with me. You've seen me, and the Father and I are one. The Father is God. Jesus is God. We don't separate them and say, yeah, it's fine to see you, Jesus, but now we want to see the Father. We want to see the real stuff. No. Jesus is God. He's saying, look, if you listen to my words, they're not my words. They're the Father's words. Because if you're having trouble believing my words, which are the Father's words, then at least believe the works. And by that he means the miracles. Look at the miracles that I have performed, because the miracles point to the kingdom of God. They point to the truth that Jesus is God from the Father, and Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is going to the Father, but we do not have to fear. We do not have to be anxious because he goes to prepare a place for us. And as the one who goes to prepare a place, he is the only one who can go and bring us to the Father. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And it's because Jesus isn't just a teacher or a wise person or someone special called by God. He is God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May we believe him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us so much, that you went to the cross and died for us, that you prepared the way between us and the Father. I pray, O Lord God, that you would give us faith in you as our Savior. And we do so with great gratitude, Lord, to you. We love you We pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.